Brittany T. Faith is an attorney here in Chattanooga whose expertise includes immigration law. She serves on the board of La Paz Chattanooga, and she is one of six lawyers in Tennessee chosen to be one of this year's fellows by the American Bar Foundation. Brittany, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And this is quite an honor that you've received from the American Bar Foundation as one of its 2020 fellows.
Yes, so it's less than 1% of attorneys get selected, and this year they only chose six attorneys in the entire state of Tennessee.
And was this something where they selected you out of the blue, or was there an application process?
There was no application process. It was just they selected me based on referrals and who the current members are and things like that. And since they, you know, are partners with the ABA, I think that my ABA work was what really got me selected.
Well, tell us more about that work.
So I am currently the co-director of practice services for ABA, for the ABA Wild E, which is the Young Lawyers Division. The ABA puts out a lot of content, and the number one thing that young lawyer members say they want is content on how to make their practice better. So for me, I'm an immigration attorney, so I want, you know, updates on the immigration case law, examples of how to do things, webinars on new processes that I don't normally do. But that's just for immigration. There are actually almost 30 different practice services committees, and I am the co-director of those committees. So, you know, anything from air and space law to litigation to tort and trial practice. So just all sorts of different areas of law. And it's really the content arm of the Young Lawyers Division, providing that content to our younger members so that they can get their right foot started on their practice.
How did you wind up choosing immigration law?
Well, I have a great story for that. So I was in law school, and I went to law school not knowing exactly what I wanted to do, but maybe something like, maybe not practice law, but do something with politics or go into public service. So I was at a pro bono clinic my first semester of law school, and it was the big pro bono clinic. I mean, hundreds of people in this big auditorium in Knoxville, and in walks two people I went to high school with. So the man in this story was in my class in high school, and the woman was 2 years behind us, and they wanted to get married, but this is 2009. She was undocumented. She came to the United States as a child. She did not have any sort of work authorization or anything, and DACA and the DREAM Act was not a thing then. So they come in, and their big question is, if we go to the courthouse and apply for a marriage license, are they going to come get her and deport her? And there happened to be a immigration volunteer attorney that day, which a lot of times at these legal clinics, there's not. So if there hadn't been that attorney there, they probably would have just been told, hey, no, here's a referral. Sorry, we can't help you. But I got to sit on a consultation. And he tells them, no, that's not how it works. But throughout this consultation, what he discovers is that she is a nursing student. And he has to be the one that tells her that she will not be able to get a nursing license in the state of Tennessee because she doesn't have work authorization. And watching her just process that information, and I'm not going to lie, she openly cried in that consultation, and just watching her process that, I knew that I wanted to help people like that. I wanted to fix this and help people with these struggles because there are so few people who do it. And because of federal funding guidelines like legal aid, and any nonprofit that receives federal funding cannot help anyone who's undocumented unless it's like human trafficking or domestic violence. There's very narrow exceptions. And I knew that I wanted to help and I wanted to serve, and it aligned with what I wanted my law degree to have, what I wanted my law degree to help me accomplish, but it's just something I didn't realize before that. And so after that, I got internships in law school to nonprofits. And so I worked for Catholic Charities and the Community Legal Center in Memphis. And I worked for the legal clinic and at the law school. And somehow it all worked out and I got a job here. And I still carry that story and that history with me today.
And how would you say that your work has shifted as this field of law, as the politics surrounding this field of law have shifted in your career so far?
It definitely has shifted. I have to be constantly vigilant of the news, which can really mentally be difficult sometimes because you just want to have some self-care time and you don't always get that opportunity. Friday afternoons are somewhat traumatic because all these immigration decisions come out Friday afternoon. It's just one of those things where you're like, okay, it's now 8 o'clock on Friday. Most likely we're not getting any news. I can relax for the weekend. that's just been a change. Another change has been most people who are going through these processes have friends or family who've done it as well. And they have these expectations that things are going to be a certain way based on how it used to be. And a large part of my job is now explaining, well, that may have been how it was before, but now it either takes longer, the process has changed, or that's no longer an option. And so it's just a lot of expectation setting that, along with following constant changes in the law.
What do you expect to learn from the experience of the fellowship?
I hope that I can get from the American Bar Fellowship the same thing that I'm trying to give to the younger lawyers behind me in my practice services work. How to be a better lawyer, those examples, those connections, how I can be the best Brittany I can be.
And then how are you operating? How are you working with clients at this time due to COVID-19?
We are not doing in-person appointments except for emergencies. So I do a fair amount of special immigrant juvenile visas, and those require that you get a court order from the juvenile court. So those we've done by WebEx. The clients have come to my office and had the hearing in my office, even though we were separate from the court. And then I had one other trial prep session. But other than that, we're doing everything by phone and Zoom. Our front desk is open for drop-offs and pickups. So we're doing a lot of that and emailing and mail. And it is difficult, but I remember about March 10th being like, there's no way that I could practice like that. And I'm actually constantly amazed at how much easier it is than what I thought it would be.
If people want to contact you, where can they go online? Where can they call?
Our website is gkhpc.com. I have a business Facebook page where I try and post just kind of big announcements about big changes. I don't post every little change, but the big things I post. And then my phone number is 423-756-8400.
All right, Brittany, thanks so much.
Thank you.